Mr. Craddock, Reel 2. We're talking about your time on HMS Rodney from, I think it was August 32 to August 34, according to papers.
That's right.
After breakfast, you know, the first meal of the day, what would you do then?
Went to prayers on that with that.
Every day?
Every day.
What would happen with prayers?
I used to sing a couple of hymns and the old parson would give you a little talk. And we surprised that was never complained. They said, always had that Roman Catholics fall out, you know, and it was so late and it was all Church of England.
Were you religious then?
Me? Yeah. Partly, you know. Well, I don't go to church, but I do listen to Song of Praises.
And you were about the same thing?
Yeah.
So after prayers?
You start the routine, like going to the job you're allocated. And then my job, looking after the boats.
Which one? The lifeboats?
Yeah.
And what did that entail?
Cleaning them, looking at the sails and that, you know, for sailing and that. But I could never understand it, being on the Rodney, and maybe skipping, and yet when I've done my glass, they made me boat showman. Which entailed me to work with a petty officer and one officer.
We'll come to that.
Yeah.
So you're looking after the lifeboats. Would they have provisions of them? Because
they do, yes.
You check them.
Oh, yeah. But you never saw them because it's sealed up. But it was biscuits and things like that, first aid.
So you basically just checked the boats. Was there any other job?
No.
How many boats were there?
Oh, quite a few, you know.
Were they all on Cabot?
In between, you used to do exercises, you know, like a way lifeboat, you know.
And what would you do during that?
There's a way lifeboat's crew, these chaps scattered down, you'd be surprised, they could get lowered down, pick up whoever it is in the matter of minutes, and back in board again.
Now, would you be one of the lifeboat crew? As well as checking it.
Well, in case it's safe, for instance, they shout out our post crew, anybody jumped in the boat while you're working. So if I was near it, I could jump in and control. They would want to get a boat away, you know, and that's it.
So any other duties you had during the boarding, say?
No, the duty detailed to this different job, you know.
Any of the jobs you remember?
It's only cleaning at the time, you know.
So, in the afternoon?
Same thing. And on the Wednesday, but they call Make a Mend Day.
So, what was Make a Mend Day?
Well, it should be for any of your buttons off your shirts or trousers and that. They call it then. And they used to give you a kit they call a housewife. Cotton needles and everything. I could always give them the impression of it sailing, so on the button, different between him and the moon.
What was it?
Well,
they can't see it, so you describe what you did.
Yeah, the woman used to sew it, you know, kind of like that, but the matlow, he gets a cotton, he throws it away, you know, and to do it.
Trouble threading the cotton in the needle.
Yeah, well, and he does it while it's traced through.
Oh. Dropping the needle.
Going again, and then you see him going up.
Just a lot more.
It, yeah.
Moving it a lot further than the thread. Generally, harder work.
But they used to go sleep on the upper deck, you know. It's a half day, but they call it Make a Mend. And always remember, and this is true, was this three-bed sailor, fast asleep, with his mouth open, and the seagull come along. He dropped his light, and he got up, he went down the mess, take up some bread, and smothered it in mustard and threw it over. And a couple of them dived on it, you know, and choked them. Beggars, you know. And it's really some laughs when you see them at least asleep. Now. And they used to have regattas.
All day.
Oh, that was good, because it was a couple of days. Each ship was against each other, you know, to find out the champions. Out
there. What? So can you just explain to people? We don't know what the regatta is.
Well, yes, it is. It's like they start with a skiff race, then the cutter, the whalers, and then, you know, all the boats. And they used to have a schoolmaster as a bookie, and used to bet on it. I only saw once on the Rodney. After that, I was on the destroyers all the time.
So that was a thing a big ship would do?
Oh, yes. Well, they would do on the... That's in the home fleet.
Now, what about in the evening? What did you do in the evening? Did you have any time to yourself?
Oh, yeah, the playing cards, you know, doing your washing, dining. You said about ourselves.
Was there much gambling? Crown of
Oh, Bank yeah. Mahjong.
Mahjong.
Mahjong. Solo, cards, jars, you know.
Any Crown of Bank?
I didn't. Oh, yes.
You know the game of Bank?
Yeah.
Often banned. Mm. Did you ever play it?
No.
Were you much of a one for gambling?
I was, but then they didn't like to play with me, because I just sat back, and as I came in the cards, I knew the cards that was going out, you know.
How did you know?
I just sat back, and as they did in the cards, I saw what they were dealing out, you know. And they didn't like me playing with them.
Now, what about the watch system? How did that work?
Oh, you should, the morning watch. Was from 8 to 12. Then the afternoon watch was 12 to 4. Then you had the dog watch. That's 4 to 6 and 6 to 8.
So what did people do with the watch? Could you explain if you were on watch?
Well, you could be lookouts. Then there's the go to action station, shooting guns.
And what was your action station? I know you weren't in action, but you must have had it.
I've done the Cordite magazines.
And what did you have to do there?
To get the Cordite ready to be hoisted up to go to the guns.
And what exactly did you have to do?
Just take them out of the cases and put them on the loader for it to go up to the gun. That's all you did.
Did you practice that? Obviously.
No, you didn't have to practice it because it's so simple.
You were well in the bowels of the ship then. Did that worry you at all? You weren't at war, so, did you worry being so?
No. But we come to it when I was on the front, fearless.
Right, we'll come back to that. So, were you on any other action stations or cruising stations? Did you ever act as lookout?
Oh no, you got your watch, dark blue, or starboard or whatever, southern port, and you got this. Seaboats cruise, laying up. Yeah. See what Rob's ready to do, you know, because.
Now, where were you with the Rodney? You joined them, as I say, in August 32. So where was the Rodney? Was it mostly in the Gordon? You mentioned the West Indies. So what else did you do?
The year we, I think it was 33, he was going to the West Indies.
So what did you do in the rest of 32 then? You just did, you said in the Gordon, was that where you were then?
We hung fleet. Your base is at Devonport. Then once a year, you used to go to Pompey to refit. A small one, you know, like chipping the ship's side for the painting, you know, and Dockyard Matis, you know, going around. But the funny thing about Dockyard Matis, you've never seen them working, and yet the job's done when the ship's going out.
So that's what you were at Devonport in harbour, and then the first big thing you did was this cruise to the West Indies.
Yes.
And that was in 33. Yeah. What do you remember of that?
Well, we was going to the West Indies, and the Nelson in Pompey on the ground, and the sailors had to jump on trying to refloat it. But Admiral Boyle transferred from the Nelson to the Rodney, and we started the cruise going through the Azores. We had that rough sea, I was telling you about. So many boats smashed in the door. It was terrible. We weren't allowed on deck for about 3 days. And Paddy Boyle, being Irish, he was also royalist, and every day we had to sing "Let It Be Glory." Every day, and I'm proud of that because I'm a royalist myself. Looking back, I'm glad what I've done during the war.
What about when you got to the West Indies?
Oh, just go ashore, you know, enjoy yourself.
That was your first time abroad, was it?
Yes, yeah.
What did you think of it, the West Indies?
Smashing. We went to Barbados, Dominica, to Kitts, Grenada, and from there we went to Norway, Stavanger, Mold. And from there we ended up in Fleetwood, near Blackpool. I always remember you got free travel on the buses. And you could go in the old...
You were based at Fleetwood?
No, the ship went to... That was during the cruise. That's included in the cruise. And then we went up to a port and had 14 days leave.
What did you do with your leave? Because you had a very little family, I presume.
Well, I went to the sister who lived in Valentine. I stayed with her.
And then
we paid off the Rodney and went into barracks.
Now that was Drake Barracks, was it?
That's right.
So where's that at?
That's in Devonport.
That's Devonport.
Yeah.
And what did you do while you were at Drake Barracks? That was August 34 yeah. till October 31. So you were there about 3 weeks.
That's right. Well, all you've done, but it's some went to the Gumbo School there. But I was still there. I'd never seen them. And,
you hadn't had any gunnery training at the moment?
No. I'll come to that.
Okay.
You?
So, what were you doing in training?
We didn't do any training there. You had different jobs, you know. Like, you could be also watching messenger, different officers doing messengers, you know. You had to go to church every Sunday, compulsory. But when I got used to it, I had a job where I used to get all my mates in there on the Sunday morning to go to church. And they got caught one day, but yeah, I was well in, so they let me off. You know. Always remember going ashore, and the officer picked me up and said, what's your name? I said, Craddock. He said, do you know Craddock? Was? I said, yeah, my father. He said, but that, he said, but never heard of Admiral Craddock. I said, no. I said, no, yeah, he's dead. He laughed so much, he said, come on. Well, maybe. Another time, he was in Mombasa. And I was going to shoot him.
Oh, we'll So you're still at Drake, so not a lot happened at Drake.
No, no.
And what's your next post? I can't read that. It was in October 30th.
Decoy.
What was that?
Destroy.
What was that based on?
Devonport. The captain was Warburton Lee.
And what was it like on the Devonport? You were an ordinary seaman by this time, not voice.
Yeah.
And what were you, what were the differences? What was your mess like on the Devonport, on the decoy?
Well, to say, you didn't have boys there on them. So there's the seaman's messes you've mixed together. There's no separation between ordinary seamen and bay maids.
What was the mess like? Was it more crowded?
Oh, it's crowded, yes.
Was it a lot more crowded than it had been in the boys' mess on the road?
Oh, no. But if you've got a rough sea, you do it. If you get water come through, slushing it on the floor, tables, cutlery's on the other floor, you know. With the roll of the ship. I'd see sick for a couple of days, but got on this. And the captain, Gilbert Lee, his friend Lee, he was preparing Lord Mountbatten. He was in the same flotilla. And we took the decoy to Singapore. And we changed over to the witch.
The witch?
Yeah. So we went from the decoy, changed over boats, but some of the decoy was commissioned with us, stayed aboard, because that was a China station.
Tell me about the voyage out to China.
Oh, quite nice.
That's quite a
way. Oh, yes. We leave Plymouth. From Plymouth it's Colombo, Jib. From Jib we go to Malta, then we go through the Suez Canal, Aden, Colombo, then Singapore.
Did you enjoy it? You're going through a lot of different places.
It's out of the world, going through the Suez Canal.
Why? What's the good about it?
Well, it's wonderful. You know, there's the desert but either side, there was a place called Tufik. And on one occasion, the king of Italy used to have his holiness. And he was there when he was passing. But it's amazing, when you get the port said, you could be on the top of the deck. And somebody's jumped up. How they got there, you know, to get an order from the coxswain at the time, that he'd done all the buying, you know. And those are from, you've got the kidney
beans. An Egyptian had jumped up.
Yes.
So they got aboard to
them. Oh, how they get on, you don't know. And the kidney boys take it, come aboard. And you know, it's supposed to be conjurers. You know, now they got these rabbit things out of your ear and things, and when they're gone, your wallet's gone. Poor lady, it's a thief.
Anything else about the journey?
No, not at all.
How was it when you know, destroy the rough sea was pretty bad. How was it when you got into the hot weather? Because some people don't mind.
We had tropical kit. shorts, just shorts and a shirt.
Did it get hot on the destroyer?
Oh, yes. Because you'd have the portals. They haven't got portals these days. They've got this air conditioning, but you didn't get that. Even when you've got the meat, that can go bad because you have no way to store it. So you can't get too much. So you give them corned beef or something.
Now, what would your routine be like, you know, during the voyage out? What was your job on the, you worked with a log, a decoy. What was your job when you were sailing out?
We're just mucking about.
Cruising station, did you?
Yeah.
What was your job?
It didn't have much of a job on there. I mean, you've got your quarter masters, that's four, and then you've got your cook, and the other one is, and that leaves you to clean up the ship, you know. And it's every job one's doing, they've done it. But apart from that, it's very easy.
So what happened when you changed? So basically, you were going out with a decoy, and then half of you were going aboard HMS Witch.
That's right.
Which boarded at Singapore in December.
Now the Witch is one of the B&W destroyers. Witch was so famous during the war.
Explain what a B&W destroyer is.
Very, very small, and really seaworthy. You could trust them. And then, on the Witch, was a third of the size of the decoy, so once looking at it, it's seasick again. You know, it's a ship that, being on the Rodney, then going to a destroyer like the decoy, brand new, and then changing over to a ship much smaller, just looking at it made me feel seasick. But I always remember the night before he was coming back, we all went ashore.
So hang on, because that's when you come back from Singapore, isn't it?
No, that was at Singapore.
Right.
We all went ashore in the dockyard drinking there. None of them want to go aboard the ships. Anyway, you did in the end. And I always remember Mountbatten. I think he was on the Richard captain, our first lieutenant. And I think it was a Chinese junk base bumped into, you know. But he's never said anything about it. But if you read about Mountbatten, it tells you about going to Singapore with nothing to help this junk. But
what would you do when you went ashore? Would you want to walk for drinking with a man?
Well, we couldn't go ashore really because you're changing over. And once you change over, they wanted us to. We had to go back to the Mediterranean fleet.
The HMS Witch.
Witch.
Was leaving Singapore and going to the
Med.
The decoy was staying out there.
Yeah, on the China station.
And what do you remember of your time with the Witch? And what was your accommodation like before this?
Cramped, but as I say, that gets used to these things and you take it off of the smooth.
Was it much more crowded than it had been in the decoy?
No, not really. Because you didn't have somebody waiting to board.
And did they roll before?
They did roll, yeah. But then again, you get used to it. Always remember swaying like that, you know, when they're walking along and you couldn't help it.
What were your duties aboard the Witch? Just as long as you've seen
them? Just all the love that they've seen them come down.
Now, what did that mean?
Well,
what difference did it make to you?
funny, that's all. If you do the same duties, what are the old machinemen doing?
And what about the Mediterranean fleet? Where were you based? Was that
Malta?
What is that?
All the Pope arrived there, and I always remember the people shout that papal, you know, very religious meetings. And we used to go ashore in what they call a diocese.
What was that?
It's a boat where a chap goes you ashore. Now, when I come back once, I'm not kidding, I never had any left in my pocket. And I said to him, do you smoke, mate? He said, me smoke plenty. I said, you sure? He said, me smoke plenty. And we got alongside, I said, did you smoke? He said, me smoke plenty. I gave him the 8 and I said, keep yourself to the flag and on the board. And he's still there next morning waiting.
You should have paid board.
Yeah. I had to get a board. I said, I may have been a bit of a I said, do you smoke? He said, me smoke plenty. I said, do you like me? Get some box matches.
Anything else you want to tell me about?
Oh, I got friendly with the owner of the capital of the Carlton Cinema. But I don't know why he was fond of me, and I had my bills there, and never paid to go to see a film. I also went up in the projection room, yeah. And a great, great friend, really. But the Maltese were good. And you get bed, you just get a bed for a shilling and a cup of tea in the lawn for a shilling. And next to Carl, there's a woman called Big Mary. And I thought she was a mother diet, you know, half an hour. But if a nut load was drunk, used to get on to him and put him in their place, you know, looked after him to see the delight next morning. Sure, that's really good.
Did you drink much then?
No, I've never been a big drinker.
Would some of them drink
more? Oh, good, yeah.
Well, so how did you get on with the other chaps, the other sailors?
Oh. Quite well. You get one or two. In fact, we did have a homosexual with some carrying going on there. But,
did that bother people?
No. I was on two shops, Rodney and the Witch, which was the only time I come across them. And when we was going to pay off on the Witch, in 1936, he was just going through the Bay of Biscay.
This is the journey back.
Yeah, we got a message that the war broke out in Spain, so we got diverted. Instead of going home, got diverted to North Italy, Spain, El Fidel, to pick